I love this time of year. I love almost everything about it, except for the weather. I'm not a big rain guy, but this time of year, you got the lights, you got the trees, the decoration, everything about it, I really love. Now, when I was younger, my brother and I, if you guys ever have siblings, I don't know if you did this, maybe it's just us, but we would rate the holidays. We would always rate the holidays on which ones we liked best. Christmas took it. Then it was Halloween, and then it was Easter, and then everything after that was just kind of whatever, you know? Why do you think that was? It was about the loot. It was about what we took home. Christmas was the big shebang, you know? And then Halloween, you got some candy, you know, and Easter, a little bunny come and give you a little whatnot, and it was good. But we know, we all know in here that that's not what it's about, right? It's not about material gifts and things like that. So what is it about? It's about what it's always been about, and that's Christ. We commercialize Christmas because we love to do that, and we can sell little ceramic figurines and gigantic snow globes and little towns and decorations and trees and presents and things, and I love all those things. Don't get me wrong. Now, I'm on Facebook quite a bit, and there was this person that posted on Facebook, and they will remain nameless to protect their, you know, anonymity. They asked, do you know that place outside of Stockton? Do you know what it's called, that place where you can cut down a tree outside of Stockton? And I was just like, you mean the forest? we'll sell anything. We'll sell you a tree. We'll sell you air if we can get away with it. But we have to remember what it's about, and that's Christ and Christ alone. That's what it's about. We went to Journey to Bethlehem this year, and it was cool. It was cool. The 3.5-hour wait to get there wasn't cool in the freezing cold. You know, I half expected to walk into the tent to start it and, like, for them to strap me in like the Indiana Jones ride at Disneyland, like, all right, here we go. But they're like, no, you stood for 3.5 hours. Now you're going to walk for a mile. Like, what? So you're sitting there, and you're going around, and they have the Roman soldiers on horseback, and, you know, you're a Jew, and you're going to Bethlehem to be counted in the census, and you pay your taxes and everything. And I'm thinking to myself, about halfway through, I couldn't make this. Like, I couldn't handle this. I would die. And you're thinking, why, Paul? Because of the Roman rule? No. Because of the oppression of the Jews? No. Because there's no hot water for the showers. That's what I'm saying. Yes, I know it's materialistic. Yes, I can be that way sometimes. But so can we all, right? So can we all. We get into the mode of bigger is better, newer is better, and more is always a good thing. Do you remember earlier this year when they came out with the iPad 3? This comedian, what he did is he took a new iPad 2, and he went around to all the current iPad 2 owners and told them it was an iPad 3 and said, what do you think of this? And they're like, oh, this is so great. It's lighter and it's bigger and it's faster and you know, it's more bright and there's all these amazing things. And it was the exact same thing they had at home. But they were intrigued by it and they were finding all these amazing things about it because they thought it was new. We tend to submit to the popular belief that these things make the season bright and that these things make our lives good. The problem is that we take that belief and we turn it into a statement of authority. And then what we do is we submit to that authority, saying that, you know, it's Christmas time and, you know, I gotta have the newest blow-up thing for my lawn, you know, the Santa Claus with a snow globe and things flying around inside of it. There's a blow-up, I don't know, I think it's a snowman next to my house. The guy has it down the street and it's bigger than his house. I'm like, what? Wow, you know what? I want my kids to have a great Christmas, and I always get my kids 5 presents each, and if I don't get them 5 presents, then it's not going to be a Christmas. Christmas is ruined. That's a statement of authority that you're living under, and you're doing that to yourself. And I want to talk to you about authority and living under it and what that means. Now, you might think to yourself, well, Paul, that doesn't really sound like a Christmas message. Or maybe you think it does. But if you don't, give me a minute and we'll discuss it and I'll show you why it truly is. So back in the day, people lived, like when Jesus was born, people lived under authority just like we do now. It was the Roman rule or the rule of the king, but they submitted to that authority. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at some people and how they reacted to the authority that was placed above them. First people I want to talk about are the shepherds, okay? So the shepherds, they're chilling in the field, shepherding, doing what they do, little cane thing, right? And then all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appears. Bam! He says, listen, check it out. That thing that you've been waiting for, that Messiah, that Savior, it's going down today. City of David, Bethlehem, you need to get there. It's going to be pretty amazing. Now that version is the PSV version, which is the Paul Standard version of the Bible. You won't find that in any bookstore. But they trusted God and they went, right? I mean, if you're back there and you're on the road and you see these shepherds and they're like, check it out, and they tell you this story, you're like, these guys are nuts, right? Or if you were just here today and someone said that story, you'd be like, that sounds crazy. We have the ability to look back on that situation and see it as a whole, to see it from beginning to end, and see how God has weaved his hand through it all. They did not. They had to trust God and went, and that's exactly what they did. So, let's look. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Luke 2, and it's 9 to 16. This is actually the NIV version. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. They hurried off. They did what God had told them to do. And another translation said they went with haste, meaning they went quickly and did what God wanted them to do. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm sitting there and an angel of the Lord appears and the heavenly hosts are there and the glory of the Lord is shining down and he asked me to do something, that's going to give me some good motivation to go out and get it done, right? But yet, I can look back on my own life and the amazing things God has done for me and yet not find motivation to do the simplest task that he's asking me to do. So we're going to move on. King Herod. King Herod was the king during Jesus' birth. He reigned for about 33 years up until that point and a little bit after. But he was a man who was under his own authority. He did what was ever was pleasing to him. He lived for no one else but himself. So when Jesus was born, he's like, I want to see this kid. Really meant he wanted to kill him. That's what he really wanted to do. He didn't want another king rising up and threatening his rule. He wasn't going to have that. But he spun it as though he wanted to see the child and worship him. He answered to no one but himself, which is evidenced by what he did next. They wouldn't bring him to Christ. They're like, no, absolutely not. So he had all the children, two and under, killed. A mass genocide to fulfill his own desires to see his kingdom stand. He will forever be defined by that, by what he did, a legacy marred by his greed for power. That's King Herod. And then there's Jesus. Jesus was under God the Father's authority, who told him to come to earth as a man and die for the sins of the world. And he submitted to that authority. When Christ was here, he submitted to the authority of Pilate, as evident by the scripture. Check this out. It's John 19, 10 to 11. This is the ESV version. So Pilate said to him, will you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and the authority to crucify you? Jesus answered him, you would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who had delivered me over to you has the greater sin. You see that God gave Pilate authority over Jesus' life, and he submitted to that authority, heeding it even to his death. Jesus didn't come to this earth to fulfill his own desires. You think he wanted to be beaten and murdered? No. I think to myself, like, if I put myself in Christ's shoes, how much could I would have taken until I'm like, you know what? Let's go ahead and put the shoe on the other foot. Like, you're going to get beat, and I'm going to sit and watch. Like, how long would I have taken that? Probably after the first lashing, I'd have been like, nah, this is not for me. Let's go ahead and switch that up, see how you feel. but he came to submit to that authority that had been placed above it, and he followed it even to his death. He was a true, willing servant of God. So when we look at these three examples, what do we see? If you were to go back in time and put yourself in the shoes or the sandals of the shepherds, what would you do? Would you have run off to Bethlehem, made haste with excitement and anticipation? Would you have dragged your feet all the way there? Like my daughter, when she gets so tired, she's like, I can't walk another step. Would you even have gone? How much of your life looks like the life of King Herod? And I'm not talking about ruling a kingdom or mass genocide. I'm not talking about that part. I'm talking about living under your own authority and for yourself. Let me tell you this. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, then you are His disciple and you are under His authority. With that being said, are you willingly submitted to Him? Are you willingly submitted to Him? If you're under someone's authority, then you do what they're asking you to do, correct? I'm not wrong in that thinking, right? So if you're sitting there and it's 4 o'clock on a Friday and you're like, yeah, I'm about to get out of here. Yes, the weekend. And your boss comes to you and says, you know, that report that you had to have in by next Friday, they actually need it by Monday morning. Now, first thing, you know that you're going to have to stay and do whatever you have to do to get it done. You submit to that authority. Well, let me tell you that Jesus is asking you to do some things as well. He's asking you to love God, to love your neighbor, to love people, to pray for your enemies, to consider others above yourself, to tell people about Him and be ready to teach about it. That's just a few of the things that He's asking you to do. You know, back in the day, there wasn't a pastor to bring people to. The disciples, you, had to go out and handle it. Had to be ready to lead someone to Christ and tell about all the great things that He's done. Let me tell you right now that if you have accepted Christ, that you have a testimony, and it's a powerful tool. And I've said this before, and it's so true, that what it does is it takes God out of His magical kingdom in the sky, and it brings Him down and makes Him real to people, but doesn't diminish Him at all. Because when I was a non-believer, that's exactly where God was to me. He was in a magical kingdom up there, and He didn't care about me at all down here. But when you tell people your testimony and how you see God working in your life, it makes it real, and it's so powerful to a non-believer. And to a believer, your testimony is like water for the soul. It refreshes us. And I love to hear how God is working in your life. And I would love to tell you how God is working in mine. When it comes to this time of the season, I can't help but think of all the wonderful things God has done for me and how I'm blessed to be in a position to tell people about it. And I'm not talking just about being on this platform this Sunday morning, but I'm talking about living in America where we can go out to the sidewalk and talk to somebody on the street and tell them about Jesus Christ free of opposition. We have that freedom here. This reminds me, this season reminds me that Christ came as man and God, willingly submitted to the authority that Christ or that God had placed above Him. And it reminds me that as a disciple of Christ, that I need to do the same. I need to do the same. I need to submit every single day to His authority and do the things that He's asking me to do. And it will not be easy. But I love this. Check this out. 2 Timothy 1:7. This is the ESV version. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I love this verse because it tells me that God is going to give me the strength to do what He's asking me to do. He's not going to tell me, this is what I want you to do, and figure it out. Go do it by yourself. I don't have to fear because God tells me, Paul, you know what? That fear, you give yourself that. Like, I don't give that to you. I give you power, and I give you love, and I give you self-control. You give you the fear. Every day that you wake up, I'm telling you right now that you have a choice to make. You have a choice. Am I going to submit to the authority of God today, or am I going to live for myself? What's it going to be? When you wake up, you stand at a fork in the road every morning, and one way is an open 5-lane freeway with no cars on it and a souped-up Lamborghini sitting there with a full tank of gas and the keys in the ignition ready to go. And the other way is a jungle path with vines littered so thick that you can't even see 5 feet in front of you. And you know which way God wants you to take. And you think to yourself, man, I don't have the strength for that. And He goes, I know, but I'm going to come alongside you. And when you think you can't go another step, I will give you the strength to go 5 more feet. And when you think you cannot go another step, I will give you the strength to go on. And I will do it again and again and again. There are some people in this church who have amazing testimonies about how God has given them the strength in times when they couldn't even barely open their eyelids or the strength to take another breath. And God has given them that. Christ came so that we could experience life to the full. John 10:10. He came so that that gap between us and God, that chasm, that grand canyon between us and God has been bridged. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the good news. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is why you are here. It is why you have breath in your lungs. To share and to proclaim His name to the ends of the earth. Christ's last command for us was to go. Matthew 28:19-20 says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I see, go, make disciples, baptize, and teach in that command. It's a command for us to be leading people to Him. For us to tell people about all the amazing things that He's done. Let me ask you a question, and I want you to ask this to yourself. Would I be comfortable telling somebody about Christ or leading somebody to Christ? I asked my students a couple weeks ago, what do you think about God? Now maybe some didn't answer because they were waiting for somebody else to answer. And maybe some of the students didn't answer because they didn't want to be wrong. And maybe some of the students didn't answer because they just had never thought about it. But I sat for what seemed like an eternity in stunned silence from a simple question. I'm telling you now that if you are going to go out there and share the good news, you need to be able to and be ready to answer on why you have joy and why you have hope. Be ready to answer in love. You can't go around shoving God down people's throats or guilt motivating them into accepting Christ. You can't do that because what they're going to do is if you're successful in it, they're going to turn around and they're going to do that to somebody else. They're going to be like, God, here, dang it. Or they're going to be like, I can't believe God, oh my goodness. And they're going to try to guilt motivate people into accepting Him. And we don't want that. In love, do it all in love. I know sometimes it seems like a lot, the things He's asking to do. But when we think about the impossible things that Christ did for us, what He's asking us to do doesn't seem quite that big. Doesn't seem like that. But you know what He says? He says, I will be with you until the end. I will guide your every step. I will be with you until the end. So what? What is that? What now? We need to ask God to change us. Ask God to change you, to empower us to do His will. We need to be praying for guidance and inspiration to tell others about Him. When you're inspired for something, you have passion and fire for it. When you're inspired, and you'll go out of your comfort zone to make it happen. You're willing to do what it takes to make it happen. It's in the forefront of our thoughts and our actions. We far too easily are swept off to the easy path. Far too easy. There's many mornings we get up and we hop in the Lambo and we put the pedal to the metal. And we're like, yes. Far too many times. We need to be asking God for the strength to do what others refuse to do. The strength to do what others refuse. To have the difficult conversations. To tell someone about Christ who you know needs them. Like if you just took a second and thought about the people who are in your life, you could probably come up with one person you know needs Christ. But let me tell you about these people, the lost. They don't see it. They're blind to anything but themselves. And they're good people. And most of them think that that's good enough. Most of them think that's just fine. I know. Why? Because I was one. I was one. But let me tell you about them, the lost. They're worth it. They're worth your inconvenience. They're worth their own inconvenience. They're worth the difficult and uncomfortable conversations. They are worth your time and your effort. Why? Not because we say so, but because He says so. When we do these things, we cling to God's leading and His guidance in our life. We fix our eyes upon Him and ask Him to guide our every step. We consider God in everything and things we wouldn't normally do. I want you to be encouraged this morning and this Christmas season that God said He will give you the strength to do what He's asking you to do, that you don't have to do it alone. I want you to be encouraged and strengthened this morning. When we submit, our lives become not one of self-reliance, but reliance solely on Christ, willingly submitted to His authority. When we're submitted to Him, we live a life worthy of the calling we've been given. We find fulfillment not in things of this world, but in Him alone. We find our identity and our significance not in who people think we are or our job title or anything, but in Him and Him alone. We understand that what we're doing has an eternal significance. We're affecting people's eternity, and God is allowing us to play a part in the big picture. How blessed are we and privileged are we to be able to do that? This season, this Christmas season, they always call it the season of giving. Share Christ with someone this year, this season. And if they accept that gift of salvation that he freely offers, it's not one that can be taken away. It's not one that can be returned. And let me tell you what, for us big guys, it's always the right size. We don't ever have to worry about it not fitting. Share the good news with someone this season and willingly submit to Christ's authority and leading in your life. Live a life of surrender to Him. Let's pray. God, thank You for this time, Lord. God, thank You so much for sending Your Son, Lord. God, help us to understand that we are, if we've accepted Him, God, that we are His disciple. And Lord, help us to submit to that authority every single day of our lives, God. And if we don't know, if we're unsure or if we're seeking You, God, that we would reach out and we would talk to someone. God, that we wouldn't just go another day in the norm. God, that we would seek You with all our heart. Lord, that we would submit to You in everything. God, that we would say, I surrender everything I am to You. God, change us to the people that You want us to be, God. Lord, help us not to go another day getting in that easy road, that we look to you for guidance and wisdom in everything, God.